Why don't you turn in your Bibles, Jeremiah 29:11. That's a familiar verse of Scripture if you've been a Christian for very long. It's been used a lot. It doesn't make it any less powerful. Jeremiah 29:11. Thank God. This is, of course, to the children of Israel, but we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus. All the blessings that God had promised Israel are ours, and we're the children of God. And this was written when Israel was in Babylon. They're in captivity, but God said this to him. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And in the NIV, it says it this way: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." I'm just going to read that part one more time. "For I know the plans I have for you." This is God speaking to us. Because this sentiment, like we're going to read other scriptures, is repeated over and over in the Bible. The same sentiment. "For I know the plans I have for you." Just God speaking to us, declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." And like we mentioned last week, Jesus is our hope. God has given us the hope. This was pre-Jesus when he even wrote this. And God said, "I have plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Well, he's given us Jesus. He's given us Almighty God came down, took our place, and through him, all blessings are ours. Everything that caused death in the world has been reversed through Jesus if we'll trust him and look to him. And as we start out 2009, start out a new year, it's good just to focus our eyes on the fact that God has good plans for us, no matter what this year brings, to keep in mind all the time that God has good plans for us, that God is on our side, that God is a good God, and that no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter what happens, not saying anything bad is going to happen, but good, bad, whatever happens, God is still on our side, and if we'll keep that in place, we can see the plans that he has for us come to pass. We can see him prosper us. When it looks like things aren't going to work out, the enemy will always try to tell us that God is not with us. He's done that from the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, Satan came to Adam and Eve and basically impugned God's character. From the beginning, that's what he does. He's a deceiver. He is a liar. One man said it like this, he mentioned that one definition of deceive is to cause you to think on things that aren't true. When you're deceived or when you're trying to deceive somebody, you're trying to get them to think on something that isn't true. If somebody's trying to deceive you into buying something, they're trying to make something look better than it is. They're trying to get you to get an image of something in an untrue way, something that really isn't there. They're going to try to get you to focus over here, because if you focus over here, your thoughts and your intentions will follow what you believe is truth. That's deception. In the Old Testament, and right at the beginning, Satan came to Adam and Eve and questioned God's character, and he said, "Did God really say this? Are you sure God isn't holding out on you? Because if you eat, you'll be like a God." See, he's saying, God's not really for you. There's something God is holding back from you. Why? He's painting a picture that isn't there. He's the master illusionist, the master deceptive person. He is good at smoke screens. He is good at making illusions. Satan has been at it for millennia. He is good at it. But what does he try? His favorite trick is deception. He's been a deceiver from the beginning, and that's what he does today, is to try to get us to believe something that isn't true. If we focus on what is true and don't let our minds get moved off that, then we cannot be deceived and we cannot be moved off God's plan. But through circumstance, through things that happen, because we live in a fallen world, because we live with the consequences of Adam following that deception, there are things that aren't perfect in this world. And what Satan will do to every single one of us is try to whisper in our ear, God does not care about you. If we said it like that, we wouldn't believe it. So he doesn't say it like that. He subtly pushes us one way or another. But the bottom line of it, when we boil everything down, is he's trying to impugn God's character and say what Jeremiah 29:11 says is not true. That God really doesn't have good plans for us. That somehow we were left out of it, or somehow God really doesn't have plans for us because we've blown it too much, or we're past, we may be, God, that was his plan for us, but we've gone too far, we've made too many mistakes, or we made a mistake last week, so now because of that it's not God's plan. That's not true. God is never defeated. God never is without a plan. God's got plan, you know, 1 to 1,000,000 for us. If we mess up plan 999,996, he's got the next plan. We mess up continually, but that doesn't foil Jesus. That doesn't foil God. He saw us from the beginning, and he had plans for us, and he still has plans for us, and they're good plans. So whether it's something we turn aside and mess up, or something that comes into our lives, the last thing we want to do is throw our hands up and say, even, I'm not saying completely quit, but even inside, say, God didn't come through for me, or something. God, somehow God's turned his face from me. That's exactly what the enemy would have us do, because when we turn our face from God, where are we going? When we think God's our problem, where are we going to go? If we subtly think that somehow God has not come through for us, where are we going to go? We start railing against God and saying he's the problem. Who's going to be our answer? Satan? No. He's got us right where he wants us. He says, yeah, go. It's God. It's God. And we just walk right off the cliff. That's what he wants us to do. But we've all been Christians for a while in here. You know that he doesn't get tired of using that tactic. It doesn't matter how many times God comes through for us. He'll still try it again. He'll still say, well, yeah, God came through for you this time, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen this time. You messed up too much, or there's something, you know, wrong somewhere, or this person, this situation isn't going to work out. He's persistent. I mean, have you ever come to a place where God just moved in your life and you knew it was God? You knew God came through for you, and you tell yourself, man, I'm not going to doubt the faithfulness of God. Am I the only one that's ever done that? After you've done that several times, then you know you've done that before. So it becomes, you know, that you get to the point where that's probably not true. Although I feel like that this time, I've said that before. Something will come up. I mean, we look at the Israelites and it looks like they just go around in circles and circles. But we all know they're just playing out the human plight. They are just walking what normal humans do, is they go around in circles. And what our challenge is to break out of that and believe that God's good no matter what. No matter what, this year, 2009, we can look back to this beginning and just say, this year I am going to believe in God's goodness and his faithfulness and the fact that he wants to prosper me regardless. And when I say prosper, I don't mean just financial. I mean every area of life, that God wants me to have a good life regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of in June something looks bad. Regardless of in September, something looks like it's not coming through. This year is not going the way I want it. It's not over yet. And the year, because the clock of the calendar ticks from December 31st to January 1st, does not mean anything's over. God doesn't work on a time schedule like that. God is coming through for us every time. He never gives up. He's always working for us. He is our Father. He loves us. He is going to work for us. And our challenge is to look at him and to stay focused on the truth that he loves us and he is good and he is my Father. He has not forsaken me, even when I feel like my feelings and the circumstances say he has. And I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to pronounce something bad is going to happen this year. I'm just saying life. When life goes on and we get into the mundane everyday tasks this year like we do every year and every day. And we get to the point where there's just things that look like maybe it's drier or it doesn't look the way we think it should. God is still working at that point. He is not arbitrarily setting stuff up to just test us. I mean, you get the idea from listening to some types of teaching that God, that we're just puppets somehow, that God just does it for his own entertainment to put us in situations to see how we'll react, and if we pass the test, well, maybe he'll move us, maybe he won't. That to me, when I hear that type of stuff, that just puts a distrust in me, because that makes me feel like I'm just some kind of, that a father would never do that to his child. Things may happen in life, and the father will see how he's going to handle it. But the father is not orchestrating everything, seeing how everything's going to happen. Well, let's see how you can handle this, and we'll see how you can handle this. That puts a distrust when I hear that. That makes me feel like I'm just some kind of, you know, puppet at God's disposal. And if I really do well, then something good will happen in my life. That puts all the responsibility back on me, and it takes it off of Jesus, and it's supposed to be on Jesus. No, Jesus came to undo what was done in the Garden of Eden. That means we live in a fallen world, bad stuff is going to happen, and God is not making it happen. God is our answer. If we think that God is in control, and I mean, he is in control, but he's not controlling every little thing. So if we think that it's just him orchestrating everything to see how we're going to handle it, then we're tempted to look at him and say, well, you kind of maybe caused this, so how now I'm supposed to look at you to get me out of it? And it's all this big, stupid game. But it's not that way. The enemy will try to make it look that way. It's not that way. That's religion that makes it look that way. It's not that way. We are in a fallen world, and so bad things happen. But the good news is God knew we were in that, and he's already provided a way. So the things happen because Satan is the god of this world at this point. He is going to have stuff happen. He's going to try to stop us. Things that just happen because we're in this world are going to happen. The good news is, no matter what happens, God is right there saying, I saw this coming, I have an answer. I saw this coming thousands of years ago, I have an answer. Everything is in place. You just believe me. You just believe me. I have an answer. I didn't cause this, but there's a way through it. Watch me work. It looks impossible, but there's a way through it. Watch me. Don't turn away from me. Don't believe the lie. Don't turn away from me, because then you're on your own, you know, groping the dark. I know the way through here. It may look like a mountain of fire that you're going through, and it doesn't look like there's any way through, but I know the way through. Follow me. That's what he's saying to us. Just trust the goodness and the faithfulness of God. In 2009, that we walk through, and we go right into 2010, and we see God's faithfulness. And even if something in the last week of 2009 doesn't look quite the way it should, we still look at God's faithfulness, because his answer is on the way always. We don't lose hope in the faithfulness of God. He knows the plans that he has for us, the plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Jesus said the same thing. We don't have to turn there. In John 10:10, he said this, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came, that we may have life. Jesus did not come to make some kind of circus just to test us and see how everything's going to go. And, oh, this person, I'm just going to see how this person handles this catastrophe in their life. And, you know, I think everybody in this room has been around enough of the Word of God to know that it's not God, you know, killing somebody, and it's not God taking somebody's daughter and everywhere, but it's the more subtle stuff. The enemy will, if he knows you know that, he'll say, fine, it's not God doing that, but it's these little things that, well, God doesn't really want you to do this, or he's just holding back on you to see what you'll do, or see if you'll work harder or whatever. It's the same principle. It's just that you've written it off in a certain degree, but you'll buy it at a lesser degree. Satan doesn't care. He said, whatever you'll buy, fine. You won't buy the big thing, I'll sell you the little thing. You'll buy this? Fine, I'll sell you this little lie. And those little things, if you buy the lie that God's not really there for you in the little things, it'll still wear you down, get you depressed, get you off. Yeah, you may not buy it that if something catastrophic happened, it was God, but you'll buy the little things, and that can still keep you off. But no, Jesus said he came to give us life, and that more abundantly. More abundantly. That means we're going to continue to go up. We are continuing to go up in 2009. Whether it looks like we go back a little bit, we're still on our way up. Now, in past years, you could say this last year was one of the examples of treading back. But the stock market in general, if you look at it historically, it's not a straight line up. And we know that very well right now because it's taken one of these. But historically, the pattern is up. It may go down a little bit, but it's still, the pattern is up. It's jagged up. Well, our lives, nobody said our lives were just going to be completely every day just up, up, up. But it's all going that way. Not that everything's going to go backwards necessarily or go in a bad way, but there's just times, I mean, even if it levels off for a little bit, we're always going up. There aren't times, I mean, I don't think we could handle just going to a next level all the time. I mean, have you ever noticed you get to a new level where you're doing something, you just need, it's like stair steps, you just need some time to get stable and to get used to that level, and then you start moving up to another level, and then you need some time. But we're always moving up. 2009, we should expect God to continue His plan for us and to prosper us. Every area. When we come to the end of 2009, we should look back and say, I've come up. I've come up in this area, this area, this area. God is prospering me. He's bringing me closer to Jesus. I'm experiencing more of what Jesus came for in 2009. In Psalm 139, let's turn to Psalm 139. I really like this scripture. Psalm 139:13. Psalm 139:13. You know, the world wants to make us believe that we're just here and that it's just all up to us, our destiny and everything. It's not. God has a plan for each of us. When we step back and realize, no, Jesus, God Almighty, has a plan for each of us. He has something. He has an overall plan for the world, and He has a plan for each of us. He has destined each one to walk in something. And you know what? That plan is not up to us to completely unfold. It's not. See, if you listen to all the things that the world says, you would think it's all up to you. Now, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to continue with what I'm saying. Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Now listen to this. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet were none of them. Verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. You saw me before I was. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet none of them were. God Almighty, I don't know if He literally has a book. I don't know exactly how all that works, but He has seen ahead. He has a plan for us. He formed us. He knew us in our mother's womb when we were just that tiny little baby, and He saw outstretched out before us everything He had planned for us. He had a plan, and they're written down. If that's literal, they're written down somewhere what we're going to do. He knows. See, God doesn't, people think, this answered a question for me once. You know, people say, well, you know, in the New Testament, it talks about where those that He's predestined, He's, you know, I can't remember the language, but the people, basically, it almost gives the impression, people get this whole thing of predestination, like the ones that He knows are going to come to Him, or that He's already predestined, those are the only ones that are going to come to Him or do certain things. No, the difference is God knows who's going to come to Him. He knows what everybody's going to do, so He predestines the people that He already knows are going to come to Him. It's not like He chose a bunch of people out of the blue and said, only you and only you and only you. No, God in His infinite wisdom already knows what's going to happen. He gives everybody an option. But He knows who's going to believe Him and who's not. He's God. I don't know how that works, but He has all knowledge. So He gives everybody a free will to do what they want to do. but he knows who's going to bow the knee. So because he knows who's going to bow the knee, he forms the plan for their life based on that. Have you ever wondered why, you know, how did that person have that call or whatever? I don't understand all that. I don't know exactly how that works. But God knows what's going to happen. And so he plans for people based on that. He knows what we're going to do. He knows where we're going to end up. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so he puts gifts inside of us. He makes us a certain way. He knows where we're going to go. All we have to do is walk in that. We choose to follow him. The plan is made. We don't have to come up with the plan. He's come up with the plan. You know, people tell their children in this country, that's not totally wrong. We know what they're saying. They say, you can be anything you want to be. Anything you want to be, you can do it if you set your mind to it. We know what people are saying is that basically believe that you have ability. Don't believe that you just, you know, can't do anything. Believe, have self-esteem. The thing is, what we need to do is go to God and figure out what he wants us to do and then walk in that. If we think we're going to do what we want to do, it's never going to measure up to what he wants us to do. He's already taken into consideration what we have to offer. He knows it better than we do. We might think we know we have some ability or we took some test, but he knows without a doubt. He knows where the stress points are. He knows exactly where we'll crack. He knows where we can hold up when we think we won't hold up. He knows all that. He's calculated it all and he said, this is what I want you to do. It's tailor-made for you. And so if we'll find that plan and walk in it and not look to ourselves to fulfill that plan, it's not up to us to make it happen. Because if we bring it onto ourselves to make it happen, think about it. He decided what the plan was going to be before we were ever born, before we ever knew there was a plan or we knew anything, we knew how to add 2 + 2. He knew what the plan was. So now why would it be up to us to make it come to pass? He knows what the plan is. Our job is to look to him and to follow him and just to walk in the steps he has for us. And to know that the plan he has for us has taken into consideration everything about us. We don't have to be somebody else. We don't have to do something somebody else is doing. It's so tempting when we go down to start thinking, well, if I did more of this, we read a book. Nothing against books, but we read something that somebody else used for a method to get the job done in some, maybe our field or whatever. And so we think, oh, I should maybe do more of that. I should do that. Do it that way. That was their plan. That was using their skills. That was using the way they thought it out. If we try to take their thing, their plan onto us and try to do it, sometimes it's like when David tried to take Saul's armor. It's not tested. It's not us. We need to just go in what God has given us. His plan fits us. And so when we look at other people and think, well, maybe I should be doing it more like them. See, I don't know if I'm getting the results I want. So I should be doing more of this or more of this. Where are we looking? How is that different than the world? Don't they do that? And aren't there all kinds of websites out there to make you more successful? What are they doing? Are they looking to God or are they seeing what they can do? They're seeing what they can do. Well, it's tempting because we live in the world to do the same thing. We say we're following God, but where are we looking? We're looking to see what I can do to make God's plan come to pass. Whose plan is it? It's God's plan. Who's in charge of it? He is. So where do we look? Him. And we believe that no matter what's going on, he's good. That the plans he has for us are not to lead us off into some ditch, not to humiliate us, not to put us through some test like religion wants to say. No, he's good. So we trust him fully and say, no, whatever is going on, I believe you, God. May not look like it, I believe you, and I am not going to make it up to me and put it on my shoulders to make your plan come to pass. Even when it doesn't look like it, I'm going to go forward and believe you. And then when we walk through different steps, we look and say, no way I could have done that. That was God. It's God that gets the glory every time. God did that. I didn't do it. But it's so tempting to want to step in there and start doing it ourselves. Start taking some of that. Start doing, well, maybe if I work harder. Tell me, what's the difference between that and the world? Am I saying we shouldn't be good stewards with our time? Of course we should. But not to where we're trying to do it in works. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to do more. Think about it. God has 6 and whatever billion, half or whatever the number's up to, billion people on the earth. Thousands of years people have lived on the earth. And yet we want to get it down and say our life is so super important. Not that it's not important. It is important. But we want to say we're the ones that's going to do that. That is going to do something. That's the way the world thinks. But God says he is the one that is in control. He's the one that gets the glory. It's his plan. Now, God, where do I fit into your plan in all this span of time? I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to try to do it myself. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to live life more abundantly. I'm not going to try to make the plan happen. I'm going to enjoy my life. And when I enjoy my life and just do what I believe you would have me to do each day, I'm getting closer to being what you want me to do. The plan is happening automatically. Why? Because you built in what I'm doing into the plan. Your life is the plan. We don't just sit on our hands and do nothing. We just do what is set before us today to do. Even though it doesn't look spectacular, we just do it. And we do it with diligence. And we keep moving on. Not diligence as in the world says, oh, you just better work hard. No, it's not up to us. It's up to God. We just do enjoy each day doing our job, doing whatever, going the way we believe God has told us to go, and the plan comes to pass. Now, I want to go back to a familiar story, but I mean, if anybody had to walk these things out, it would be Joseph. Let's turn to Genesis 39. And we're not going to read, I mean, it's many chapters, but there's just a few things I want to touch on. We'll be going to Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 in a minute. But, so, we all know the story behind here. Joseph, he's young boy, he's got 11 brothers, and he has some dreams and he babbles off. You know, if you think about that realistically, the guy was probably young. He probably said some stuff he shouldn't have said. Nobody said it was God's will for him to blab those dreams. He probably got his brothers peeved at him. He's young, he's blabbing. They just got irritated at him, sibling rivalry and all this stuff. He's seeing something. He doesn't even understand what it means. He thinks youth, he probably thinks, I'm going to be great and whatever. And he goes and just tells them, and so they get mad at him, and he's already the favorite. So they go and sell him into slavery and tell his dad he's dead and all this stuff. So he gets himself into trouble, and who knows what all the ins and outs of the reality of the situation. Because this was a real family, real issues. The guy did not know everything. I mean, he was only like 17 at this point. He's a boy. He probably said some stupid stuff. They weren't perfect. They weren't a perfect family. Who knows how that happened? But anyway, he sold into slavery. And so at that point, that's pretty bad turn, I would think. I mean, if any of us were sold as a slave, I don't know what we would think of that at that point. I mean, I don't think anybody in here has been a slave, but that's pretty bad, probably worse than anything that we've really experienced. But this guy is now a slave. So now he had this dream, and who knows, at this point, who knows what he really thinks of that dream. I mean, we in retrospect can see everything. That's not where he was. He was a 17-year-old boy with that much life experience. Just got removed from his family. Dad thinks he's dead. Brothers wanted to kill him, but they didn't kill him. Sold him into slavery, so he's a slave. So in Genesis 39, verse 2, now let's just read verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. He's a slave. But God had a plan for him, and God did not give up on him. And what did he do? Does it say it said that he was a successful man, and that everything he did prospered. I think he was just being Joseph. He was just doing what he normally did. But God had a plan for him. Joseph doesn't know what the plan is at this point. At this point, he's a slave. Joseph does not know anything that's ahead of him. He doesn't. I mean, he may, I guess. I can't. I mean, maybe he has some glimpse. Maybe he knows without a doubt in that dream that's where it's taken him. But it doesn't really give any indication that that's the case. He is just moving forward. and he's a slave. Verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. So Joseph got sold into slavery, and he just keeps working, keeps doing what he's supposed to do, and he gets put over everything. But he's a slave. He doesn't know where he's going at this point, we assume. Maybe he really knows that what's going to happen. So verse 30 down to verse 21. So, you know, in between these two verses, then Joseph gets accused of adultery, and so he gets thrown into prison. Should have been killed, but he got thrown into prison. So verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So now he's in prison. I mean, seriously, we've heard the story so many times that I don't think we even think of the details. The man got sold into slavery, and now he's doing pretty well. Everything's going well, and now he gets falsely accused, and now he's in prison. I mean, have you ever had it in your life where you think, something happened, it's not so good, but you make it through, and you're going pretty good now. You think, okay, that wasn't the best thing, but we dealt with it, it went on, and then something worse happens. You could be tempted to go, good night, I don't want to deal with this now. I'm trying to get over here, and now there's this. Yeah, we've all had that type of stuff. Well, this is probably several orders of magnitude greater than anything we've had. But it says the Lord was with Joseph. He's with us. The Lord is with us. This isn't just the Lord. We're in a new covenant. We have Jesus. Jesus has come. He's our hope. He's the one that said he wants to give us life and that more abundantly. And he's with us. Not figuratively, God is with us right now in this room. And when you go out those doors, he's with you. He's with you on your job. He's with you in 2009. Everywhere you go, he is not showing Joseph favoritism. I'm not saying we have the same call as Joseph has. This doesn't mean that we're going to bust out 10 years from now and be ruler of the United States of America. We're not saying that. We're saying we have a call. Every single person on the face of the earth has a call, whether they answer it or not. Because God has seen, you know, the people that are going to answer, you know, believe on Jesus. They have a call. God is with us in this room. We're believers. He's with us. As we go through 2009, he's with us. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You see that same phrase over and over. Verse 3, back where we just read, it says, the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. That should be us. Everything we touch turns to gold. I'm not saying we're all going to become multi-billionaires. It doesn't have to be extreme. We just keep it. God wants to prosper us. God has a good plan. He said the first thing we read in Jeremiah, he has plans to prosper us. Jesus said he came for abundance. And not the more you live on this earth, you realize the material thing is not the abundance. That's an outflow of your life. No, that we're healthy, that we have health, that we have happiness, that we have peace, that we enjoy what we're doing, that we get closer and closer to what God has for us every day. Every day in 2009, that we get closer and closer to we get closer to being more like Jesus, but we get further into his plan that he set out when we are in our mother's womb. Just like Joseph, that we just walk out, even though it looks like we're taking a step back, but he's getting experience in each of those places. He's dealing with people. He's dealing with the prisoners. He's dealing with slaves. He's dealing with the type of people that he will be dealing with in that famine that's coming. He knows that that wasn't wasted time. It wasn't like he was ready at 17 to be the job that he was thrust into at 30. God used all that time.
God didn't set it up, but he was with them through all that time, and he used it. He made sure that Joseph knew how to deal with thieves and prisoners and people that were going to try to come out and get more food than they needed to get in that famine. He knew how to deal with all those people. He wasn't fooled. He's been around slaves and other people like that, and he's been in the prison. He's been over these people. He's been over all the prisoners. He had skills. God used it to develop Joseph into the ruler that he became later. But it didn't look like it. It looked like he was washed up at that point. It was years before he saw that. And I'm not saying that we're going to all have this big, you know, incident like Joseph did one day that everything is going to change in our life. And it's not necessarily like that. But whatever it feels like today, at the beginning of 2009, that God is bringing us somewhere, and we never want to despise where we are, because we don't know how it will be used years down the road. No day is unimportant. Tomorrow, Monday, January 5th, it's the start of, you know, one of the first days, work days of the year. It's not unimportant. We don't know the people we're working with. We don't know how they will affect us down the road. The skills that we learn, we don't know how we will use them. We don't know if we just look at it like, oh, just another day. It's not another day. Our days are numbered on this earth. It may be a high number, but they are still numbered. We have a plan to walk out. And if we look at it like, if Joseph would have said, oh, great, I'm a slave. I'm sitting on my rear. I'm not going to do anything. This is just great. I believed in God, and where has it got me? Nowhere. Heck with the whole thing. I don't believe in the goodness of God. We would not have heard of Joseph. You think he didn't have a choice to do that? Of course he did. Just like every one of us has a choice to believe that God has a plan to prosper us, and that it may be mundane what we're doing right now, but we're going somewhere. It's no more mundane. Your life and my life is no more mundane than what Joseph's was. I guarantee you that. The man was a slave, yet he chose just to go forward, obviously. Then he became a prisoner, but he chose just to learn. He prospered there. Well, we may feel like where we are is a prison sometimes, but we can prosper there. If we choose not to sit down and say, I'm just going to coast here, we keep pressing forward and going forward and say, no, it may not look like it, but God has not forsaken it. God may not have done this, but he's going to use it somehow. He'll keep me going. God is my Father. He knows what's going on. He saw this. He saw this incident right here before I was born. He saw it. And that means he knows how to get me out of it. It may look impossible, just like it looked for Joseph. It may look impossible, but he knows how to prosper me. I don't know, but my trust is in God. My trust is not in myself. I'm going to just keep walking it out. It's not up to me. It's not up to me. I look to my Lord and Savior, Jesus. He's the one that's in control. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to be led by my Spirit. If I feel like I'm supposed to make an adjustment, I'm going to make that adjustment. But I'm going to enjoy this day. I'm going to enjoy this day and learn what I can from it, not take it as my responsibility to change everything in my life. I'm just going to be happy, enjoy it, and take it as part of God's plan. Not that everything is part of God's plan, that if it's something bad, no. But in the midst of it, I'm going to believe God and believe his word and just walk forward and be peaceful and believe in the goodness of God. Believe that I am no different than Joseph. I am not less than Joseph, an Old Testament person. That God is with me. He has a plan for me. He's walking with me on my job, in my life, and I can walk forward and just be at peace. With so many people are searching for that. We can just be at peace, walk in that plan. And then we wake up a few years later, and we can look back and we can see how the puzzle pieces start to fit together. Oh, that's why I was doing that and that. Well, I'm glad I didn't really try to work real hard to do something else, because I was doing right what I was supposed to do. If I would have moved out of there and tried to make something happen that I didn't see, I didn't realize that this piece was going to fit right here. This skill was going to fit right here. Those people are very important in my life. I'm so glad I didn't look at the exterior. I'm so glad I stayed where I was supposed to do. Not get anxious. I did what I was supposed to do, because right here, that relationship was crucial. God has a plan for us. And we just look back to him and believe he's a good God this year. Believe that we're walking down that road. And thank God when we get to the end of 2009, we can look back and say, that was a good year. Now let's go to 2010. Regardless of where, we can say it's a good year regardless. If we're in prison at the end of 2009, we can say it's a good year. My life's not over yet, so I'm going to walk on. Thank God. Thank God we have that hope and we can look to God. We're not without a hope. We have Jesus.